Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's just pray as we come to hear from God's word. Lord, in the light of what we've just heard about Mike Ovi's sudden death, and in the light of the things that we bring in our own hearts, that we carry around with us, and in the light of all that will happen this year, that is unexpected or that we yet don't know about, these are precious, precious words. We pray that they will have their full effect in our lives for your glory. Amen. Well, each of you should have an envelope. If you don't have one, pretend you have one. It's an envelope. And it's got a sticker on it saying, "Please don't open." So I really hope no one's opened your envelope. Apologies for the traffic this caused on the way in, by the way. I'll find a better way of doing this. You have an envelope. Inside that envelope is a piece of paper. What if I told you that on that piece of paper, I had written something that is going to happen to you in 2017? It might be something you're already aware of, that you might know it's coming. You might not. What could be on that paper? Think for a moment with me. What would be the worst case scenario? What would be the thing that you would be most frightened of being in that envelope when you opened it? Hold that in your mind for a moment, as unpleasant as that might be. What if I told you that I was right, that really was going to happen? How would that make you feel? What difference would that make tomorrow morning when you got up? How would you go through the day? How would you feel inside? As you think about it now, what kind of fears and anxieties are creeping in? And now what if I told you that I was right, this really is going to happen, but that you don't have to be afraid of it? That you can face what's in here, that thing, whatever it is, and not spend the next year anxiously waiting or planning how you can avoid it or thinking every day, is it going to happen today, with it hanging over you? What if I said you don't have to be afraid of it? Mahatma Gandhi said, "The enemy is fear. We think it is hate, but it is fear." If that sounds familiar, it's not because you're big on your Gandhi quotes. It's probably because you've seen Frozen. And the King of the Trolls says something quite similar to Elsa. Fear is the enemy. What would your life be like without fear? Fear is just such an everyday part of our lives. So much of our activity and our brain space is taken up with avoiding things that we're afraid of. It's so ingrained, we can barely imagine it not being there, but humor me, take a moment. What would your life be like without fear? What would change? How would you act differently? What good thing would you do because you weren't too afraid to do it? Or how could you serve God with all that emotional energy and brain space that's freed up from not worrying about things? If you're a Christian, what would your witness to other people look like? What kind of ambitions might you have? How would you use the things you have, your money? Life free from fear would be a really, really good thing. But you might be thinking, that's impossible. Don't be stupid. I think actually this psalm holds out to us just that, the possibility of a life free from fear. I'm not saying you'll never be tempted to fear. I'm not saying even that you'll never feel any fear. But there's a possibility of never being driven by it, never being dominated by it, never paralyzed by it. And that even when it comes to the scariest, the most paralyzing, sickness-inducing, stomach-knotting, fist-clenching way that the bottom could drop out of your world, you can face that and everything in between without fear. I'm not promising you'll get there tonight, but this psalm is here to help us just to start out on that journey. And it gives us three pointers to that destination, three steps to living free from fear. The first one is this. You can live without fear when you know God is for you. You can live without fear when you know that God is for you. This is verses 1 to 3. If you've got a Bible open, look down at them. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. As a child, I had a recurring dream. I say dream, it was more like a recurring nightmare. It was one of those old platform video games, if that makes sense. Like you see a cross-section through the world and there's this little character that you're controlling who's running along. You jump on things and jump over things, and that was what I could see anyway in my dream. And I was this little character just running along inside my world. And then suddenly, every time, the ground would start to shake and stretch and groan. And then it would start cracking apart. These big holes would appear in the ground, and I'd be jumping over them, and they'd be getting bigger and bigger, and I'd be trying to jump further to get over them. But then every time in the dream, there'd be one that was just too big, and I'd fall down it, and I'd be falling, and the ground would be kind of still groaning and shaking and making horrible noises. And then I'd fall into the sea. Don't know why, but I fell into the sea. And I'd be swimming on and on and on, trying to get to dry land, and there wasn't any. It sounds kind of silly, but I remember the horror that I felt as a child, seeing just the ground moving under my feet. An earthquake is terrifying, because when the ground beneath your feet is shaking, there is literally no safe place to be. And verses 2 and 3 of this psalm are picturing something like an earthquake. Not a UK earthquake, a little shaking of the windows, but this is a San Andreas Fault earthquake. This is an off-the-Richter-scale earthquake where the ground ripples like water. And to help us get this, verse 2 and 3 talk about mountains. Let's talk about mountains for a moment. If you go with the geological timescale, the Appalachian Mountains are 500 million years old. That's quite a long time. So let's try and squeeze that into today. If this day is 500 million years long, then the last ice age finished 2 seconds ago. And Jesus was born 1/3 of a second ago. Mountains, they tend to hang around. They don't really have a habit of falling down. The mountains, they stand for stability, safety, and security. If there's danger, you run to the mountains. They're safe, they're solid, they're dependable, they're unchanging. But in verse 2, the safe, solid mountains come crashing down into the sea. And just so we get this, this isn't the sea as we know it. Blue, sandy beaches, nice and calm, nice for a holiday. This is the sea as ancient people saw it, full of evil and chaos, menacing. The closest I could get is, imagine you're trying to cross the Mediterranean in a dinghy full of 100 other people, and it's dark, it's cold. All you can hear is the waves against the side of the boat, which is dangerously low in the water. And you look out at the sea, and it's black, it's cold, and it's ready to swallow you at any moment. That's how they felt about the sea. That's what we're talking about here. If you know Genesis 1, you might remember that God separated the dry land from the water in the way it's described there. He made mountains spring up out of the sea, and he fixed a line and said, "See, you're not crossing that. You're not going over that." And so, in verse 2, when the mountains crash down into the sea, creation is just going backwards, coming undone. This is a picture of the world coming apart. Okay, this is colorful language. This is picture language. What's it about? It's about what's in these envelopes. This is a picture of our safest places being swallowed up in chaos. It's about the things that we depend on suddenly giving way. You might have had that experience of the bottom just falling out of your world. You might know what it's like to have the ground just crumbling under your feet. Maybe you don't know what that's like, but maybe you're scared that you'll find out. Julian just mentioned Mike Ovey. For his wife and his three children, it's happened. Their envelope's just been opened. The ground's just fallen out from their feet. What would it be for you? What's in this envelope for you? Maybe the moment when the phone rings, "I'm afraid I have some bad news." Or when your boss says, "We're letting you go." Or when your husband says, "I don't love you anymore." Or the doctor says, "I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do." In that moment, verse 2, this psalm says, "We will not fear. We will not fear." Why? Verse 1, because God is our refuge and our strength. He's our refuge. That's where refugees go. He's the safe place to run that is more permanent than mountains. The fortress no earthquake can shake and no tsunami can reach. The holy creator God, who's immeasurable and perfect and timeless, we are allowed in to shelter. He's our refuge, but not only that, he's our strength. He's inside us, strengthening us, taking our weakness and adding his power. God protects us from the outside, and he strengthens us from the inside. That's amazing. But you know, it's completely against what we normally think, this psalm. We normally think if life is going wrong, God has either forgotten us or he's against us. He's either looking the other way or he's after us. And nobody knew that better than the people who wrote this psalm. Look at just before verse 1 in your Bible. Some little performance directions there for this psalm. It was written for the sons of Korah. They're a group of singers and musicians who had a special place in the temple in Israel. They helped Israel to worship God. But they're named after their ancestor, Korah. Remember him? We read about him earlier. Do you remember what happened to him when he rebelled against God? Let me read Numbers 16:31. As soon as Moses finished speaking, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households. They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished. Now, imagine for me that you are a descendant of Korah. If you saw a crack in the ground, you'd get pretty nervous, wouldn't you? Something in your ancestral memory was like going, "Oh, okay, this is dangerous." Imagine you saw a sinkhole. You'd run a mile. If you're a son of Korah, your greatest fear, the thing that keeps you up at night, is the ground giving way beneath your feet. Because that is a sign that God is angry. And surely, isn't that right? Just existing in the same universe as a holy God, when we've offended him, that should terrify us. Going to God should be the last thing we'd ever think of doing. You expect the sons of Korah to say, when your world falls apart, run and hide, because God is after you. Now in those shoes, read verse 1 again. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way. Verse 1 says that in that moment, even as the ground crumbles, God is for you. He is there with you, ready to be found. He's for you. He's ready to help you. You don't hide from God, you hide in him. It is incredible that God should be a refuge to us. But do you believe it? Do you believe that God is for you? That he's not your enemy, he's not after you. But he is a refuge so secure, a strength so powerful, a help so sufficient and so present that when all of your safe places are gone, you still don't need to be afraid. That's the first step towards living free from fear. Know that God is for you. We'll come back to this, but the second one is in verses 4 to 7. Remember that God is the only safe place. God is the only safe place. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's nothing more relaxing, nothing more peaceful than a quiet stream or a river. There's just something about water that makes you just feel so, And that's what happens in verse 4 here. From the raging sea, we get a quiet, gentle river. And we're sent up this river, up inland maybe, until we reach a city. This city is surrounded by enemies. Outside, it's noisy and it's violent. But inside, it's different. Inside, there's peace and there's security. And the reason isn't because of the city itself. It's not because it's bigger or got bigger walls or got guns on the walls. It's because of who lives in it. We're told three times. Verse 4 is the city of God, where the Most High dwells. Verse 5, God is within her. This is God's city. And then verse 7, who is this God? He's the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts. He's the general of every army on earth, the general of millions and millions of angel warriors. And he's the Lord. He's the God who binds himself to his people by a promise that he will never, ever break. And he's the God of Jacob. What does that mean? It means that he is the God who hears the cry of a messed up, lying, manipulative, good-for-nothing cheat, and not only appears in person to reassure him, but makes an everlasting promise to protect him and be with him. That God is committed to his city, and so you know that city is the safest place to be. And if you thought for just a moment that there was any danger here, that these armies could somehow overcome this city, well, God is there to help. At the crack of dawn, he's not snoozing his alarm. He's up, defending the city. And all he needs to do is just raise his voice one tiny little bit, and the world away melts like a snowman in a volcano. I was racking my brain to try and think of a good way to help us get what this city is like. First, I thought maybe an air raid shelter. I know there are at least a couple of people in Eden who remember air raid shelters and using them. So the alarm sounds and down you go, down the steps, into the shelter, and in there you're safe. As long as a bomb didn't drop directly on the shelter. So that's not safe enough. Okay, well maybe a nuclear bunker, deep underground, lined with 30 feet of concrete and three sets of steel blast doors. It's got its own ventilation systems, its own water supply. It's pretty safe. But it's about the most joyless place on earth. Verse 4, this city is glad. This city is like St. John's College Maybole with a missile defense system. Sorry about the mixed metaphors, but the point of these verses is really simple. There is one safe place to run. And that is into the arms of God and nowhere else. There is one safe place, one refuge, one fortress, only one place that your life can be safe. And that is getting near to God. So let me ask you, looking forward to 2017, what's your safe place? What are you depending on? Saving enough money? Investing in the right places? Getting the right people on side, the right relationships? Getting the qualification? Getting the mortgage? Getting the pay rise? Getting the operation? Getting the date? Getting the school place? What is going to keep you safe from the uncertainty of tomorrow and next week and next month? And if the honest answer to that is anything but God, as if I'm honest, it so often is with me, something's up. It might be that for you, you've never come to Jesus for shelter. You've never trusted him to be your safe place. Maybe you got the idea from somewhere that Christianity was a kind of deal where you were good, and in return, God gave you things that would make your life secure and comfortable and safe. Well, if that's you, then you've pitched your tent outside the blast doors of the nuclear bunker. It's not a safe place. God doesn't want to organize your life to provide you with security. He wants to be your security, to be your refuge. The only way, the only safe place is inside God's city, inside God's presence. Or maybe for you, you have done that. You know you have. But still, you know that in your heart, you are still looking to other things for security. If that's you, then you're inside God's city, but you've forgotten it. And you're like the little boy in the corner of the bunker hiding in a cardboard box because he's forgotten where he is and that he's safe. And the way you can tell that is that when something goes wrong, you immediately take your eyes off God. You get afraid, and you either try to distract yourself or you try to solve it. On one hand, you might use social media, retail therapy, reading, exercise, whatever it is, just to try and anything to numb that sense of anxiety. If you're on the other hand, then you let that anxiety drive you and take over you and dominate you so that you're constantly worrying and fretting and researching and planning and making plans and backup plans and second backup plans and lying awake at night and trying to work out how to solve your problems and make yourself safe. Either way, you're not looking at God. You're building your little cardboard fortress inside impenetrable walls of concrete and steel. Because you've forgotten that God is your refuge. If you're a Christian, you're inside. You're safe. But are you living like it? This psalm says to us that when we're afraid, instead of distracting ourselves, instead of trying to take control, we need to get near to God. And we need to fill our souls with the knowledge that God is for us and that he is our safe place. Let me suggest two ways of doing this. When you're threatened, when something goes wrong, before you get onto Facebook, before you start trying to plan your move, just take a moment and turn your mind to Jesus. And particularly, picture Jesus as he was the day before he was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what he said. He said, "Father, take this cup from me." You've got an envelope. He had a cup. What was in it? In what way was his world about to fall apart? It wasn't his home life. He had no real home. It wasn't his family. They already thought he was mad. He didn't really have any money or things to lose, so it wasn't that. Maybe it was that his trusted friends were about to run away and deny him. But they were already asleep instead of being there to comfort him. Now, that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it was that his father who loved him from eternity with a fierce, intimate love, his kind, constant, always there, always loving father, was about to turn his face away and drop the sins of the world and all the punishment for that on his head. That was what was in his cup. He could have run. He could have got out, but he didn't. That is how much God is for you. If he would do that for you, surely there's nothing to fear. The second way to do this is to use this psalm. Because psalms are, yeah, they were there to be sung, they were there to be memorized even. They were there to change the way that our minds and our hearts work. Change the way we react to reality. About 15 months ago, when Heather and I, my wife and I, first found out that we were expecting our daughter Talitha, we quickly found out that things were looking very, very bad. And it looked almost certain that we would lose her any moment without warning. Night and day for 8 weeks, we had that hanging over us. And the fear was just horrible. Every night, just waiting for the morning. Every day, just waiting for the night to come. There was no way to escape it and nothing we could do. And that's when I discovered Psalm 46. And I memorized the first few verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. Just that. And I went over that in my head, over and over, again and again, tens, hundreds of times a day. God is my refuge. I know he is for me. I know he is with me. And so even if this happens, even if this envelope gets opened, I am not going to fear. Yes, I will grieve. Yes, it will hurt. Yes, the ground will fall out from beneath my feet, but I will not be afraid because he is my refuge. The more time you spend at the cross, the less you will fear. The less time you spend at the cross, the more you will fear. Either the cross and seeing there God's care for you and his presence with you, either that will dominate your life or something else will. When you're tempted to fear, look to the cross. Run to God. He is the only safe place. Well, up until now, the psalm's been reassuring us. And in the last few verses, 8 to 11, it challenges us a little bit. Challenges us a little bit. And it invites us to see that this is God's world. And his plans haven't come to an end. Step 3, remember that God is God. Remember that God is God. This is from verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. For me, 2016 was a little bit like the year the world went mad. Quite a lot of things happened that I didn't see coming. I didn't see Brexit coming. I certainly didn't see Donald Trump coming. I'm sorry if this offends your political sensibilities, but a few years ago, there was an open public vote to vote on the next chancellor of Cambridge University. And Brian Blessed, the comic actor, big beard, he entered. I honestly thought if that had been last year, 2016, he'd have got in. But more seriously, what else happened? The increase of terrorism coming closer to home. Didn't see that coming. The migrant crisis in the Mediterranean. The world at the start of this year feels like a less safe, less predictable place than it did this time last year, to me. And in the middle of an uncertain and dangerous world, the psalmist now tells us, commands us, come, see, come and look, come and remember that no matter what is happening, this is God's world, and nothing will stand against him. It might be about a particular situation, a particular time that God came against Israel's enemies and fought for them and literally shattered spears and literally burned shields. What it says is that whatever opposes God and his plans will not last forever. Its power is going to be destroyed, and everyone will see that God is God over all things. So if you're worried about Brexit, if you're worried about the US election, if you're worried about terrorism coming closer, don't be. If you're worried about superpowers getting less friendly and more aggressive, don't be. If you're worried about divisions in this country, about Christian freedoms being taken away, don't be. The Lord Almighty, he's the Lord of armies. Kings and presidents might have their finger on the nuclear button, but the Lord controls the fingers. Ultimately, God will put an end to these things. One day, God will speak to these things. I remember in assemblies at school, often the deputy head would be at the front, shouting. And it wouldn't necessarily have that much effect. There'd be people standing up, kind of calling to each other, people talking, maybe people throwing things, playing jokes. But when the head teacher walked in, not the deputy, the head teacher, Mr. Bishop, he didn't have to shout. He just had to enter the room. And in verse 10, it's like the moment that the head teacher walks in. The Lord walks in into the world and silence. No noise. All eyes on him. That will be Syria. That will be the US Congress. That will be Parliament. That will be Islamic State and the EU. As he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God will say one day to all the things in the world that oppose him, to all the things in these envelopes, stop. I am God. He's speaking to all those things. But I think he's also speaking to us. And saying, in your situation right now, whatever it is, your greatest need is not for me to take away the thing that's bothering you or to change your situation. Your greatest need is to be still and to know that I am God, whatever's going on in your world. My plan for you and for this world is not just that you would feel safe and secure in the things that you're putting your trust in, but that I will be glorified and seen to be King and God over all people, and they will all worship me everywhere. So stop. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop trying to find a reason. Stop trying to find someone to blame. Stop filling every spare moment with planning and research and making those plans and backup plans and strategies and guessing every move and lying awake at night trying to work out all the angles. Just stop. Listen. I'm God. The bottom's fallen out of your world. It's not your world. Is this not according to your plan? Well, my plan is bigger, it's greater, and it's more wonderful. And you can get on board with those plans, but only if you give up your attempts to control your own life. So be still and know that I am God. We've seen from this psalm, God is for us. He is our safe place. And sometimes he takes apart the little worlds we've made for ourselves and allows our plans to be frustrated. Why? Maybe so we stop trusting in our own ability to fix things and trust God instead. Maybe so we stop wasting so much time and energy trying to make ourselves safe and get on board with his agenda for our lives in this world. Maybe just so we can experience him more deeply as God. To recognize that we don't have to be God because he is. I was struggling a little bit this week to work out how to apply these verses to us. And then on Friday evening, I got an email that contained some bad news. It wasn't really bad news, just a little detail of our future plans that isn't working out. And even though it wasn't a big deal, I saw myself instantly jump in to panic mode. Finding a strategy, working out what we could do. I started snapping at our children. I just wanted to hide away until I could figure it out. And then I remembered what I'm preaching on tonight. And I understood verse 10. Be still. Just stop. Know that I am God. You're not. I'm for you. I gave my son for you. Don't you think I care Don't you think I knew this was coming? And don't you think that maybe, just maybe, I've got this? So stop fussing and trust me. Is that ever true of you? Is that true of you right now? At the beginning, I asked you what difference it would make if you weren't driven by fear. Well, holding that in your mind, what do you need to give up to God? What is the fear that is blocking out your horizon? Where do you need to stop and say, okay, you're God? Will you do that today? Verse 11 ends by reminding us that God is with us. And that's really what the psalm is about. That was the short version. God's with us. God doesn't promise you an easy life. He doesn't promise you that if you obey him and honor him, everything is going to go to plan. But he promises something so much better, that he's going to be with you, around you, in you, your refuge and your strength. And if you accept that, then you can face whatever is in here and anything else as well and say, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way. Let's pray. Father, please, will you mold our hearts, mold our minds, so that next time we're threatened, next time something goes wrong, we remember that you're for us and that you're with us and that you are God. Please do this so that we will be free to serve you better, free to give ourselves to you more, free to accept the comfort that you bring to us in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.